Welcome to exclusive coverage of the Preakness Stakes Post Position Draw on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by the Maryland Horse Breeders Association.
And it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
Dan Zigmone and Julian Leparu are moving away.
Divining Rod is moving on for the finish.
And Dortmund, another superb performance.
Storyline by 15 lengths.
Bodhisattva and Trevor McCarthy in the Federico Tessio.
Final 16th, Tale of Verve and Joel Rosario in front at the wire.
Now here's Mike Penna and Tom Law.
And welcome to Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, Maryland, as we get you set for the 140th Preakness Stakes right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna alongside Tom Law from thisishorseracing.com coming to you from the brand new Sports Palace on the third floor of this historic clubhouse here at Old Hilltop in Baltimore. And Tom, this is really one of the events that is, I guess you could call it, the unofficial start of the Preakness Stakes.
It is. It's a great atmosphere here, kind of juiced environment, nice, beautiful place. We're sitting right off the side of the raw oyster bar, so it's Maryland seafood in full effect here, out here at Pimlico today.
This is a packed house right now. Owners, trainers, and dignitaries from the world of thoroughbred racing here for the post draw. Dave Rodman, the track announcer here at Pimlico, is at the podium. He's welcoming everybody. In just a few moments, he will be joined by the president and chief operating officer of the Maryland Jockey Club, Sal Sinatra, Bruce Quaid, who is the chairman of the Maryland Horse Racing Commission, and of course, Keith Fustel to set the morning line. They are going to do the pill poll. Eight horses expected to be entered here in just a few minutes.
That's right. Like you said, eight horses. The entries have already been drawn. This is really the only last bit of formality aside from the race itself to determine where those eight horses are going to start.
In an eight horse field, you wouldn't expect that the post draw is going to have the impact that we saw in Louisville a couple of weeks ago where, oh my God, if you draw the rail in an 18 horse field, you're really in trouble. Not the case here with eight horses.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think any post is good here at Pimlico.
All right, Tim Ritvo, the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, has just come to the podium. Let's join Tim and join the festivities. We get you set for the Preakness post position draw.
Great for the facility. So we'll get right to the draw. And once again, thank you all for being here. We appreciate your support and hope you enjoy the venue and the weekend.
Thank you. We're looking forward to some terrific weather and even more terrific racing this weekend. Of course, 3 days, an hour, and give or take 15 minutes away from the 140th running of the Preakness Stakes. And the winner of the Preakness, of course, the winning owner, will get the Woodlawn Vase. You see over here to the right of the stage to my left, guarding the Woodlawn Vase, very valuable trophy that's kept on permanent display at the Baltimore Museum of Art, Sergeant Bob Vincey, Sergeant John McCullum, and Detective Jeremy Silbert, representing the Baltimore Police Department. It was created by Tiffany in 1860. Our draw participants today to host the post position draw, of course, I'm Dave Rodman, track announcer. We'll have to my left, Bruce Quaid, the chairman of the Maryland Racing Commission, and also Sal Sinatra, the vice president and general manager of the Maryland Jockey Club. Bruce, you'll be having the honor of pulling the entry sheets, pulling the names, handing them over to me, and Sal will pull the pills, the post position. It's a random blind draw, so good luck to all. Hope to get the post position that you want for the Preakness Stakes. So without further ado, let's go ahead and start the Preakness post position draw. Also to the right of me, we'll have our Preakness hostess who will apply the names of the Preakness runners to the post positions on the board. You can also see the post position draw on the video monitors on graphics. Let's go.
And that suspense of the first
number
name
six
out.
Number six is Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva owned and trained by Jose Carellis. Trevor McCarthy will have the mount on Bodhisattva on his 21st birthday on Preakness Day.
And the local horse draws post six, Tom, the winningest post position in the history of the Preakness Stakes.
It's been a long time since the local horse has gotten it done in the Preakness, but this horse has proven over the track.
Number eight, the outside gate to Firing Line, owned by Arnold Zetcher, LLC, and trained by Simon Callahan. And Gary Stevens aboard, Firing Line, number eight.
And the Derby runner-up draws post eight, the last horse to win from there. Pretty good one, Bernardini in 2006.
Number seven is Divining Rod, with jockey Javier Castellano for Lael Stables and the trainer Arnold Delacour. Number seven, Divining Rod.
Another local horse here carrying some of the outside hopes of the Lael Stables back for the first time since Barbaro.
Yeah, great story ago. There with the Jacksons and local Fairhill.
Number three is Mr. Z. Mr. Z, now owned by Calumet Farm and trained by D. Wayne Lucas. Mr. Z will have Corey Nakatani in the irons in the Preakness Stakes. Mr. Z,
well,
number three.
In the Derby, looking to turn the tables here, and new ownership for Mr. Z.
Yeah, the big drama of the day, I guess, the 11th
number
hour purchase.
Four, number four, Danzig Moon. Danzig Moon is number four, owned by John Oxley and trained by Mark Cassie. Julian Leperoux aboard, fifth in the Kentucky Derby, Danzig Moon into post four.
Talented horse for Mark Cassie, Danzig Moon, post four.
Number one is American Pharoah for Zayat Stables, LLC, and trained by Bob Baffert, with Victor Espinoza, the Derby winner from post one in the Field of Eight. On Saturday.
Number one for the Derby winner. Last horse to win from there, Tabasco Cat in 1994. You remember he avoided post one as the last pill
left,
pulled
five.
Out in the Derby
Tale
draw 2 weeks ago.
Owned by Charles Fipke and trained by Dallas Stewart. Tale of Verve with Joel Rosario. He's one of the mile and 3/16 distance of the Preakness.
Coming off that maiden win. Can he pull it
and
off? We'll see.
The last post to number two, Dortmund. Dortmund for Kalim Shah Incorporated, trained by Bob Baffert. Dortmund with Martin Garcia up into post two. Well, there you have the field for the Preakness Stakes. Now we have to get the morning line odds for the Preakness. So please welcome to the stage now our morning line maker, our odds maker here at the Maryland Jockey Club, Mr. Keith Bustol.
So the Baffert horse is breaking side by side, post one, post two. We'll tell you about the historical significance of that in just a moment.
Looking to a great race here, the 140th Preakness Stakes. Go through the morning line odds from the rail out. Number one, American Pharoah, going for his sixth straight victory. A real gritty effort there, winning the Kentucky Derby, surviving that five wide trip. Bob Baffert, trainer of Lookin' Lucky, back in 2010, his last Preakness winner. American Pharoah will be set at 4-5. 4-5 on the one, American Pharoah. Number two, Dortmund, for Kalim Shah and Bob Baffert. Suffered his first loss in the Kentucky Derby. Real willing effort to hold on there for third. Dortmund, 7-2 on Dortmund. Number three, Mr. Z. As Dave stated, a purchase this morning for Calumet Farm and D. Wayne Lucas. Trying to pair up again like they did in 2013 with Oxbow. Mr. Z set at 20-1. 20-1 odds for Mr. Z. Number four, Danzig Moon. Suffered some trouble going into that first turn, but in one of the cleaner derbies in recent memory, Danzig Moon, 15-1. 15-1 on the fourth, Danzig Moon. Number five, Tale of Verve, recent maiden winner at the Preakness distance of a mile and 3/16 down at Keeneland. Tale of Verve, 30-1. And number six, Bharadvaja, written by Trevor McCarthy, as they stated. Trevor celebrating his 21st birthday on Preakness Day. Bharadvaja, winner of the Tezio here at Pimlico, our local prep for the Preakness. Bharadvaja, 20-1. Number seven, Divining Ride. Trained by Arnold Delacour, ridden by Javier Castellano. Coming in off a win in the Lexington Stakes. Showed a little rating gear there when drawing off by three. And a real nice effort. Divining Ride, 12-1. And rounding out the field, number eight, Firing Line. Ridden by Gary Stevens, going for his fourth Preakness win. Firing Line, a bang up second in the Derby. Firing Line set it 4-1. And that's a look at your morning line odds for the 140th Preakness Stakes.
And so the morning line is set. The post positions have been drawn. Dave Rodman coming back to the podium.
Well, there you have it. Keith with the morning line odds for the Preakness. And let's go over them one more time. Recap and post position. Number one, American Pharoah. He's set at 4-5. Number two is Dortmund at 3-1. Number three, Mr. Z at 20-1. Number four, Danzig Moon at 15-1. The five, Tale of Verb at 50-1. The six, Bharadvaja at 30-1. The seven, Divining Rod. Divining Rod odds at 15-1. And on the outside, 8, Firing Line, once more at 7-2. And that's the field of 8. Now you have the post positions, the morning line odds. We'll be back in just a few moments here to talk with some of the connections for the 140th running of the Preakness Stakes. Back to DRF Live.
And we'll step away as well. You're listening to exclusive coverage of the Preakness Stakes post position draw presented by the Maryland Horse Breeders Association on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Every morning in Maryland, a new day dawns on more than 16,000 horse farms. From the mountains to the ocean and all along the Chesapeake Bay, new life surges from paddock to field to track, energizing the O-line state's grandest sport. Maryland, we grow horses.
To learn more about racing and breeding in Maryland, visit MarylandThoroughbred.com. Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick Four. You hear him on HRRN Radio. Now get his personal selections directly from him at his new site, PopeJude.com. Every analysis sheet at PopeJude.com has his personal selections and insights. Each page is a handicapping lesson packed with years of racing knowledge, coupled with insider information gleaned from the pontiff's countless connections in thoroughbred racing. Whether you're looking for another set of eyes on the past performances or inspired racing analysis to assault the windows, PopeJude.com is the site for you.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage.
And it is a true privilege to be joined by legendary golfer and Hall of Famer Gary Player.
They say Frankel is the best horse. The British say that. They talk rubbish. Frankel is the best grass horse, maybe ever. But Secretariat would have kicked his butt on dirt. So let's be reasonable. Say he was the best grass horse. Don't say he's the best, period. It's very, very deceiving and very incorrect.
Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories. The Preakness Stakes runs here. Will American Pharoah take the next step on his way to the Triple Crown?
16th to go, and American Pharoah and Firing Line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
The Preakness Stakes, this Saturday, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Welcome back to the Horse Racing Radio Network. Continuing coverage of the Preakness post position draw. The field has been drawn, post position set, the morning line has been set as well, and Mike Penna, Tom Law, back with you on HRN. Tom, what do you think?
Interesting that you got Bob Baffert drawing 1-2. I know that he was going to be sick if he drew number one in the Derby. I'm anxious to hear what he says about drawing one here in the Preakness.
Yeah, interesting. When you think back to 2 weeks ago and sitting there in Churchill and Bob Baffert just sweating because it came down to two post positions for American Pharoah. It was either post 18 or post 1. You don't want post 1 in the Derby. He drew 18. We know that worked out pretty well for him. Not the case here today. He gets the rail.
Exactly.
And Dave Rodman is back at the podium. He's joined by Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. Let's listen in.
Winning trainer of the Kentucky Derby. And let's see, American Pharoah's drawn post 1. Dortmund post 2, side by side. But first, before we get to post positions, Bob, how did the bubble wrap work?
Well, we're still, we're still enjoying the Kentucky Derby. That's a race that we really wanted to win, and we're just really enjoying it. And it's good to be here in Baltimore and get ready for the next leg. So we got a few days to really enjoy it and get into festivities.
In the Derby, your horses didn't draw their posts until very late. Kind of the same thing here, of course, a shorter field. Now that you've seen American Pharoah post 1, Dortmund side by side post 2, how do you feel about the draw and perhaps a strategy, which I'm sure you're not going to reveal?
Well, I was just talking to Sinatra, and he told me I hope I do a better job. I get the California Chrome at Pennsylvania that put him in the 1, and so it was like, it was a kiss of death right there. But you know what? I was surprised I drew 1-2. I hate drawing next week for my horses, but they'll be easy to watch now. But with 8 horses, it's a different vibe here. So they still have to break well, and you don't like to be down the inside. But unless you can redraw it or something, we're just gonna have to deal with it.
Live with it. And, of course, they came in this afternoon. I have to ask you, how did they fare on the trip? Everybody safe in the barn? No hiccups?
No, they shipped well. And so everything looks good. He looks happy. He was very happy, both of them. So, we feel good about it. So we just got to get around there the quickest.
Well, you got a 1-2 punch. Post 1, post 2 punch. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you for putting me there.
Okay, next we'll have Simon Callahan, who's coming up now, and of course, trainer of Firing Line. You're no stranger to seeing at least Dortmund and now American Pharoah, the guys that traded punches. This horse is so consistent, Simon. What makes him such a consistent horse?
He's a horse with a great mind. He's really straightforward to train, and he's the sort of horse, like you said, just turns up every time, so hopefully he turns up again this time.
And having drawn post position number 8 now, you see Pharoah's on the inside. Dortmund, have you chased to the inside? Does that change anything for you as far as the race goes, going the mile in 3/16? We've got a pretty long run to that first turn.
Yeah, it certainly gives us options from out there. If they go fast, we can just take a lead, and if not, we can be more forwardly placed. Never know how the race is going to unfold. We expected more speed in the Derby. It's nice to be out there.
And where do you expect him to be in the race?
We'll just see where he's comfortable. Like I said, you've got options being drawn out there, and he can rate or he can be close to the lead. So that certainly is perfect.
First trip to Baltimore?
Really enjoying it. It's first time here, and it's great to be part of this event, and so far it's going really well.
Enjoy the crab cakes, and hopefully a win picture in the Preakness and the Winner's Circle in the infield will become a good trip.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon Callahan. Bob Baffert and Simon Callahan, we thank them for their time. And we thank you for watching on DRF Live, watching the post position draw. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And we will throw it back now to Daily Racing Forum and Dan Illman.
All right, well, Tom Law, that's about it for the festivities here this evening, but we are going to stay with you until 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Several of the major players are going to stop by, including Dave Rodman, who will call the 140th Preakness Stakes. We're expected to be joined by trainer Dallas Stewart, who sends out Long Shot Tale of Verve, and who knows, maybe a couple of other connections coming by in the next half hour or so. But let's analyze what we saw here today. We see American Pharoah in post position number 1, Dortmund in post 2, Mr. Z gets post three after being kind of on the fence until earlier this afternoon for the Preakness. Number four is Danzig Moon. Number five is Tale of Verve. Number six, Bodhisattva, the local horse. Number seven, Divining Rod. And number eight is Firing Line. Who fared the best?
Tough question. I think Firing Line does pretty well from post eight. I mean, I think he's got plenty of room to get to the first turn. He's a horse that's going to be forwardly placed, drawn on the outside. He's certainly not going to have any trouble from his outside. Depends on, you know, a lot of it will depend on the break. You know, American Pharoah, of course, Baffert just said he was a little worried about the California Chrome drawn post one in the Pennsylvania Derby, how that was the kiss of death. I wonder if he is maybe already working on the built-in excuse with post one for American Pharoah. He's certainly going to be down in there. He's got a horse right to his outside, his stablemate, that is another horse that does like to show speed. You know, but you never know with race tactics. They may just say, just go ahead and send. I mean, American Pharoah is certainly a fast enough horse, and if he sends, he can outfoot anybody to the first turn. I mean, unless Firing Line and Gary Stevens really want to go, you know, head to head with him.
Yeah, does this kind of force Victor's hand, though? Does he have to send from that inside post or risk getting shut off at some point, maybe going into that first turn like we see in the Kentucky Derby all the time?
That's definitely going to be the question, I think, through the week. Maybe we'll find out something about it soon. I'm not sure when Victor gets to town, but I'm sure he's been watching the draw, and I'm sure now we're going to have to see what he does. I mean, he drew on the inside in the Pennsylvania Derby on California Chrome. He drew on the inside there in the Belmont Stakes with California Chrome. Did not with a horse that likes to be kind of up in the race. It doesn't always work out that well.
Yeah.
You know, Victor's got a Hall of Fame resume. But I would be a little concerned if I was those guys. The fact that there's only eight horses in the race definitely makes it a little different than if we had 14 or even 12. You know, but I do think that this is a pretty good group of eight, so you might have a little bit of a log jam in there. I mean, some horses, Danzig Moon, ran right with the pace in the Derby, Divining Rod, you know, obviously Firing Line, obviously Dortmund are horses.
Could Mr. Z be the wild card with his early speed?
I mean,
he could add fuel to the fire early as well,
right.
And then you could see Firing Line from that outside post. And by the way, Hall of Famer Gary Stevens is aboard Firing Line. This guy knows how to win races. He is probably licking his chops right now being drawn to that outside post because he knows that Victor has to go from the inside, possibly. He knows that Dortmund has early speed. Martin's probably going to try to get him into the race early. He knows Mr. Z from the three-hole has early speed. And now he can sit on the outside and just see how this all plays out. By the time he gets to the first turn, he could be sitting in the Capford seat.
Yeah, and I think Bob Baffert's comments, post-race comments after the Derby, he really was really complimentary of Gary Stevens and his ability to judge pace. And I think, you know, obviously Gary's in the Hall of Fame. He's won the Preakness before. He's won the Derby. He's won everything there is to win.
Yeah.
And you don't get in the Hall of Fame unless you have that good judge of pace. And like you said, he might be in that catbird seat. He might be able to just kind of keep an eye on what's going on up front and turn for home in front again and get the job done.
Well, and if Firing Line changes leads this time, if they have that figured out and they can get him to change leads. Remember, he didn't change leads in the Derby, and he still ran on extremely gamely to be second. So if he changes leads, all of a sudden with that post position, Firing Line could be the one to beat in the 140th Preakness Stakes. And, boy, that's saying a lot considering the talent level of a horse like American Pharoah. The voice that you heard on the podium was track announcer Dave Rodman. He is the voice of Maryland Racing, and he is on the network with us now, live from the post position draw. Dave, appreciate the few minutes, my friend.
Yeah, I'm more comfortable talking on the radio than in front of a TV camera with lights, I can tell you that.
And let me tell you that you did just fine. And
yeah.
I thought your question to Baffert was interesting about the bubble wrap.
Yeah,
that was an interesting tie-in with him.
Did he really answer it?
I don't know if he ever really did.
Maybe he's waiting for sponsorship deal or something. Who makes that sell?
But he said everybody shipped well, everything
yeah.
went well, but he can't be happy with post one and post two with his two runners.
Yeah, you know, but it is a shorter field, that's for sure. I think he, you know, deep down, just looking at, you know, his body language, maybe, he probably would have been happier with a middle to outside draw. But I guess it's now all Simon Callahan's doing. you know, on the outside there with firing line, he might go to the front. I didn't hear what you just said, but was that your conjecture?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Yeah, even if he doesn't go to the front, he now has the ability to rate just off the pace and see how that develops inside of him with American Pharoah and Dortmund and those horses. But let me throw some historical stats at you since you've called so many Preakness stakes.
Uh-oh.
Tabasco Cat, the last horse to win from post one in 1994. Snow Chief, the last horse to win from post two in 1986. And that's what Baffert runners are looking to overcome.
Yeah, that's something else. Of course, American Pharoah is a very talented horse. So we know that. You know, in calling the race, obviously, now the first thing, well, you always want to see what the Derby winner does at the start, but particularly maybe that opening 16th of a mile, you know, whether there's any crowding by horses from the outside trying to come over, or somebody maybe showing speed, say, other than firing line, who may want to join the party. You know, I've seen Trevor McCarthy ride here time and time again, putting horses on the lead, lulling them to sleep, and saying goodbye. I'm not saying that Bodhisattva is that talented horse to win, but, you know, I notice every time he rides, he kind of sits down and crouches on the horse like he's going to send him. And I noticed that several times in route races here.
Dave Rodman, the voice of Maryland Racing, with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, let's talk about Bodhisattva for a minute here. You've called him. You're familiar with him. How good is he? Can he upset the apple cart?
To win, no. To end the money, maybe. You know, maybe a superfecta, or, you know, even if he gets lucky in the try. I would say, you know, fourth, he'd be a good superfecta horse. The reason he may not appear as fast or as good as some, he's missed a little training, actually a lot of training in February when we had snow, ice, thaw, refreeze, you know, below zero wind chills. There were at least 10 or 12 days missed training for him. And if you look at his past performances, it shows that there are a couple of races that he could have run a little bit better in, but he came up short. He's an improving horse, but it would be a real surprise to see him win.
Dave, obviously you call a lot of races. You call them all the races here. Talk a little bit about post one, the advantages of a horse having post one, and maybe the disadvantages of a horse having post one. Now, obviously not a lot of mile and 3/16 races, but there's a lot of two-turn races.
Two turns a little bit different. I can tell you in sprints here at Pimlico this year, it's the winningest post, and it's a very productive post. It's 6 furlongs. I think it was like 25-26% last time I checked. Very, very strong post, the rail going 6 furlongs. You know, the track's been playing pretty fair. So, I you know, it's hard to say at a mile and 3/16. So, I would say it's fairly even. I wouldn't give them an advantage or a disadvantage at a route of ground.
All right, how many, and I don't even know if you know the answer to this question, but in the Preakness Stakes, how many empty stalls will there be inside of that post one, or will there be any?
That I don't know.
And
I would assume that they would leave at least one open.
Yeah.
That's my assumption.
To give them a little bit of room to maneuver coming out of there.
Mr. Z, you know, he's had a little tendency to bear out, but normally that's later in the race, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's too much of a problem for Dortmund or American Pharoah. You know, I think Dortmund may try to take it to firing line early, and maybe Pharoah will try to set up some shop there, you know, followed by maybe Divining Rod, who will be maybe 6 lengths, 7 lengths off the lead. I don't know.
All right, tell me this. You have your binoculars up. You're watching them. They go into the gate for the Preakness Stakes. Are you keyed on any one horse? Are you keyed on American Pharoah since he's the story, or are you trying to see them all? How do you do it?
You hope you get it right. you always kind of key on the Derby winner, number one, see how he comes out. And see, that's the first thing you look at. And then they open and hope to catch if there's any crowding at the start. And even though it's only an 8-horse field, you know, could potentially have a horse break in and a horse break out and somebody gets squeezed back. And then after that, you know, that opening 3/16 of a mile run sometimes is crucial. I mean, we had Ria Antonia running off and into the pace. Some things can happen there. And, of course, you know, famous Secretariat's big run around that first turn. You look for strange developments like that or odd developments like that other than a normal race flow. But hopefully I get it right.
How many is this for you on Saturday?
25.
25th Preakness.
Yeah.
That's a milestone.
It is, in a way, yeah. Yeah, see.
What was your first one?
Hansel, 1991. And that was a runaway winner. You know, I really don't think there's a lot separating the big three from the Derby to the Preakness. Yeah. I'm hoping for a 1997 Silver Charm Captain Bodgett Freehouse finish. I really am. I mean, I'd be kind of disappointed if they weren't kind of lined up 1-2-3 kind of at some point in the race like they were in the Derby. And then it could turn into a real race of the ages, you know, so to speak.
Do we resurrect barrels through Baltimore if Bodhisattva were to win? Bodhisattva barrels through Baltimore? That would kind of fit.
Well, he may enlighten the bettors, right? he's enlightened the chalk players. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
Our first Preakness Stakes we ever broadcast here on the network was 2008 with Big Brown, and I can still remember it. Dave Rodman's call, Big Brown barrels through Baltimore, one of my favorite race calls of all time, next to the Fleet Alex call, which I thought was spectacular as well.
I've always liked alliterations and repeated words, and sometimes I stumble on them day to day in the race call, but at least I tried, right?
Dave, we appreciate it, my friend. Go enjoy the rest of the evening, and we'll talk to you here on Saturday.
Nice talking to you, and I'll see you this weekend.
Dave Rodman, the voice of racing here in Maryland, and always great to catch up with him. Always fun. 25 Preakness Stakes. Think about that, Tom Law. Pretty good.
That is pretty good. Yeah. My first was 2005, so he's got quite a few years on me, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Jockey Trevor McCarthy is going to join us here in just a minute as well. He will ride the local horse at Bodhisattva and try to pull off that huge upset. We'll see if he can do it. And as you heard Dave Rodman say at the podium, it will be his 21st birthday on Preakness Day. So Trevor trying to pull it off. Bodhisattva drawing post position number 6. That is the winningest post position in the history of the Preakness. And we'll see if that bodes well for young Trevor McCarthy and for trainer Jose Corrales. He is also the owner of Bodhisattva, and he comes out of that powerful win that we saw in the Federico Tessio Stakes. And this is a much tougher assignment, but he's in good hands with Trevor. And Trevor is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Trevor, appreciate it, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a privilege.
All right, so you're excited here. Preakness Stakes Day coming up. What's it like for you at this point? You're still, 36 hours out. What's it like?
It's still, I don't think it's really sunk in yet, you know. But we're super excited to be here and, to be in a race.
You're riding your first Preakness?
Yes, correct.
Tell us about your feelings, like Mike said, 36 days out.
The nerves.
been watching any tapes of any old races? What do you do to prepare yourself for your first Preakness?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the last couple of days I've been watching old Preaknesses, probably the last 10 years. And, I haven't gone over the race a lot yet. You know, I've definitely, scanned over it, but we were kind of waiting for the post position. You know, just to go over it finally. But, we'll see what happens. We definitely want to be in a good position, and we'll just play it by ear then, you know. Me and Jose really haven't talked yet, so just waiting for him to decide and agree upon it.
Tell me about that last race in the Federico Tessio.
And the Tessio, I really thought, the fractions were slow early, which was great. At the 3A pool, I really didn't think he was ready to go yet, when the other horse came to him. And at the quarter pole, he just gave me a great kick. And the last eighth of a mile, it was like a light bulb went off. And he really strutted out nice and, flattened out and really went on with it. So we were really happy about that.
Were you thinking Preakness at that point?
yeah, in a way, it definitely went through my mind, I would say. But, I just left it up to Jose, and, it's his horse. He's the trainer, so I let him make the decision.
Talk about the first Preakness that you remember watching, whether it was in the room or maybe at home, maybe as a kid.
I think the first Preakness that I remember was probably Smarty Jones. I could really say I remember that race, from top to bottom. And it was probably my favorite Preakness ever. Smarty Jones, he was just, I thought he was an awesome horse. I was a big fan of him at the time. And, it was just cool to see kind of, a Philadelphia horse, small town, kind of, Philadelphia, everybody is a big rooter there for, either the Eagles or the Phillies, they're big on athletic sports. So when Smarty Jones came, it was a big deal.
Now you were, and now that was 2004. You were 10 years old, according to what we just heard. So, that's you're turning 21 on Saturday. That's going to be another big day.
Correct. Yeah, it's super exciting. And someone said to me today, oh, well, you know, afterwards, you're going to have a drink, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't think so, you know, because I got to ride mom at the next day. And then the next day after that, I got to go to Prescott. So, you know, it's super busy. I don't think I have time to be drinking.
What if you win the Preakness?
Maybe one then. That's what Jose told me. He said, if we win, then I got to buy you a drink.
Sure. Now, your dad, Michael, rode more than 3,000 winners. Did he ever ride in the Preakness?
Never. He's never ridden a Triple Crown race.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're one up on your dad.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's super excited for me, too. You know, he's...
Will he be here?
He is. He's actually flying tonight. I have to pick him up from the airport.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, he's super excited. I think he's more nervous and excited than I am.
Really?
Yeah, you know, he's just... He's been calling me every day ever since, you know, Jose said, you know, we're going to go to the Preakness. And, he's just ecstatic.
What's he been saying? What are those conversations like?
You know, just going over the race a little bit, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And, you know, he's definitely waited on the post position. You know, he's been texting me the last 15 minutes, you know, dying to know what was going on. But, you know, and different things about the jockeys and the horses. So he's a huge help. You know, he's taught me everything. And without him, you know, I wouldn't be in this position for sure.
So you talked about the post positions and you guys talking about it. Obviously the big story, you know, probably the next 24, 48 hours of the news cycle will be American Pharoah drawn post one. I don't want to put you on somebody else's horse, but what do you think of him down in the one hole? I know that it was a big concern going into the Derby. Is it as big a concern drawing the one here at Pimlico for the Preakness?
Yeah, you know, it's tough for him. You know, he's probably the best horse in the race, you know, and everybody's going to be looking to beat him, you know. So, you know, to be down there on the one hole on the rail, you kind of got nowhere to go, you know. So it's going to be tough for him, you know. Seems like he's probably going to have to play it from the break to see, you know, who's doing what, you know. I mean, Baffert's got two in there, so, you know, it might be a bit easier, you know, having him 1-2. You know, if someone wants to go, then, you know, let him go. If the other one wants to go, then let them go, you know. So... Victor, he's really going to have some work cut out for him.
Talking with jockey Trevor McCarthy, who will be riding in his very first Preakness Stakes at the age of 21 on Saturday. He will ride local horse Bodhisattva, and really looking forward to seeing you in action, my friend. Should be a lot of fun.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, enjoy the time. Good luck and safe trip out there. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Trevor McCarthy.
Good luck.
Here on HRRN. And Bodhisattva going to the post is a bit of a long shot. He has his work cut out for him, but, hey, stranger things have happened, right? And, by the way, you heard Trevor mention that his first Preakness he can remember watching was Smarty Jones back in 2004. Well, Bodhisattva drew post 6. Smarty Jones won from post 6.
Well, how about that? I think the place is still... rocking from 2004 when Smarty Jones won.
Yeah,
that was one heck of a race, and obviously he didn't get it done in the Belmont, but that was another very, very memorable day in the recent thoroughbred racing history for sure.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to step away for a break. We're going to come back with more live from the Preakness post position draw. This coverage all presented by the Maryland Horse Breeders Association right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Every morning in Maryland, a new day dawns on more than 16,000 horse farms. From the mountains to the ocean and all along the Chesapeake Bay, new life surges from paddock to field to track, energizing the O-line state's grandest sport. Maryland, we grow horses.
To learn more about racing and breeding in Maryland, visit MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Now horse players can get an early edge on Saturday's most anticipated races. Daily Racing Form introduces the Saturday Stakes Preview, a new weekly publication that previews the past performances for all major Saturday stakes from around the country. Get all the races you're looking for in one convenient product. Each issue includes the past performances of horses entered in major stakes for the coming Saturday, plus extra data, stories, and free access to DRF Plus, all for just $6. Look for it Wednesday night at DRF.com or Thursdays at all Daily Racing Form retailers.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage.
And it is a true privilege to be joined by legendary golfer and Hall of Famer Gary Player.
They say Frankel is the best horse, the British say that. They talk rubbish. Frankel is the best grass horse, maybe ever. But Secretary would have kicked his butt on dirt. So let's be reasonable. Say he was the best grass horse. Don't say he's the best, period. It's very, very deceiving and very incorrect.
Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories. The Preakness Stakes runs here. Will American Pharoah take the next step on his way to the Triple Crown?
16th to go, and American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
The Preakness Stakes, this Saturday, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live. You're listening to the 140th Preakness Stakes post-position draw on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And here comes Divining Rod, moving by Comfort, changing lanes to the outside, to the top of the stretch. Fame and Power, Donworth, Divining Rod takes aim from the outside. These three moving past the eighth pole. Divining Rod has taken the lead from Fame and Power and Donworth. Comfort is fourth. Divining Rod is moving on for the finish. Divining Rod and Julianne Leperoux, convincing winner of the Coolmore Lexington Stakes. It was close for second. Either Donworth or Fame and Power for the runner-up spot. Comfort was fourth to time 1 minute 43 and 1/5 seconds.
Kurt Becker with the call of the Coolmore Lexington Stakes at Keeneland back in mid-April. Divining Rod getting the victory that day, bypassed the Kentucky Derby to be here at the Preakness. Now, one of a few newcomers to the Preakness, including Tale of Verve, who also won his last race at Keeneland. That was his maiden effort. He shows up here in Baltimore for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. Mike Penna, Tom Law, we are back with you at Pimlico, and we are now joined by the trainer of Tale of Verve. That is Dallas Stewart, who makes his, what, fourth appearance in the Preakness? Is that right? Fourth Preakness starter for you?
I think so, yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it is. Welcome to back to the Preakness, my friend. Happy to have you back here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Excited?
Always, yeah. I love racing, and I love racing at the top.
Tell me about Tale of Verve. He's a bit of an unknown as opposed to like an American Pharoah or a Dortmund. Tell me about him.
He's a beautiful horse, and I've loved him all winter. I just thought he had some rough races, bad racing luck, and just kind of one thing after the other. But he remained very healthy, and we trained on, and I thought the races were kind of short for him. He was always finishing on the end and just couldn't get there. So we got into Keeneland. They had the mile, and actually it was a mile and a quarter. They couldn't fill it, so they put it in a mile and 3/16. And I thought he ran beautiful. And he's a very healthy horse. He's out of an unbridled mare. He's got a great pedigree. I mean, he's healthy, fit, sound. He's fresh. So, you know, the owners came to take a shot, so here we are.
How big of a factor is that experience level, so to speak, with horses that are a bit more seasoned on the greatest stakes calendar, like American Pharoah, like Dortmund, like Dancing Moon, that have been competing with that type of competition? Big factor?
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, we're going here, I think with the seventh start.
Yeah,
so we've
had
some starts.
Yeah,
so he's had a lot of works. He's had a lot of starts. He's handled it well. He's got a good mind on him. He's a beautiful, beautiful horse. If you look at him, I mean, you wouldn't think he's just only won one race. So he's just that type of, he has that type of presence about himself.
Well, he's a horse that brought 400, he's listed as a 440,000 at the Keeneland April sale. So obviously there was some interest in him. He's a horse that, you know, you debuted going seven and he ran a pretty good race in his first start.
Well, what happened there was Rosie rode him and he didn't break at all. And they have those little chips in the saddle towel to tell you how fast they go. He actually went 21-2 the last quarter of the race. And how it says he got beat how far?
2 3/4.
Yeah, the next jump, believe me, he was going to win it. That's how fast he was coming. So he runs through the stretch. He knows what it's all about. So, you know, hey, listen, guys, I know it's a tall order. If we get a piece of it, then we're ready to go on, you know, a mile and a half, hopefully. You know, that's, you know, Mr. Fipke's dream. I said, hey, this is what you're doing this far. You're breeding these horses. You're hoping to win these big ones. You got to be in them. You can't be afraid.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah, go
I was going to ask you, how important is it to have a horse like this in a race like this for a guy that breeds the horses himself?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the daddy. He has the mom. He has the brothers, the sisters. He has the whole thing. So, you know, when you have one that you think that has a shot to compete, like Golden Soul, And he was 40-1, 38-1. You know, like I told him, I said, this horse is training good. Let's go. When they're training good and they're feeling good, that's when you got to run them.
I can remember when Calvin won with Mind That Bird in the Kentucky Derby, and he said, I was just riding to be third. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of unfolded the right way, and he's in the winner's circle. And you just said, hey, if we can be third, if we can get a piece of it, why not? Is that kind of the strategy going in? Is that what you might tell Joel? Hey, if we can get a piece of it, great, but, you know, let's try to win it, obviously.
No, you don't ever tell a jock that. You know, I mean, I evaluated on a lot of different levels, like, you know, American Pharoah. Suppose you don't come back with that big race. Suppose him and Dortmund really fought it out, and, you know, they left a lot out there. And that happens. They leave a lot on the track. Coming back in 2 weeks, well, that's the time you want to take them on. You don't want to take them on off, you know, a longer layoff when if your horse is fresh. So, I mean, that was kind of my thinking. You know, I think they're the two horses to beat, Fire and Line. I think he's a nice horse. He ran really hard. He trains really hard every day. So, you know, when you just start factoring some things in, then you start convincing yourself, you know, kind of like football, you know.
Now he's going to start talking about the New Orleans Saints. You watch it. I'm trying to avoid that topic with him because my Pittsburgh Steelers lost to his New Orleans Saints this year. So he has bragging rights, which really bugged the hell out of me, by the way, Dallas. I got to tell you.
Well, you guys just weren't on your game that day because we were terrible.
You know, and you look back at what you've done in the Preakness. You had Macho Uno that was here. Macho again, excuse me, that was here in 2008, right? He finished second that year. But you were also here with the Preakness winner in 1994 with Tabasco Cat when you were still working with Wayne Lucas. You were his assistant. So you know the feeling of winning the Preakness Stakes. What do you remember about that day and that feeling?
Well, you know, that horse, you talk to Pat Day, he'll tell you that he sat down in the gates and didn't get up real good. And when he broke, the horse on the outside, I believe, hit him right in his rib cage, and he just couldn't get. I think you guys probably never heard this story, but Pat will tell you that he ran the whole race in the Derby like he was trying to get his breath, and the horse never had a breathing problem. He just couldn't get his air. So there were some guys at Overbrook Farm. They wanted to run the horse in the Ohio Derby or somewhere, and when Tabasco Cat was tearing the barn down. And Wayne, you know, he can convince anybody to do anything. I hope you get him on the show here. You know, we stuck to our guns and said, hey, let's run him. And he won it, and he won the Belmont, you know, so, yeah.
That was Stuart with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
So, Taylor Verve, where are you going to see him? What should we expect to see from him maybe early? Is he going to drop out the back of the field?
Think? Yeah. Yeah, he'll be back, hopefully not too far back. Mm-hmm. Have a good trip and just come running hard in the stretch. That's his style. You know, I mean, if he breaks good, then, you know, Rosario can do what he wants. But I expect him to be back, hopefully have a good trip, come running, pick up a piece of it, we move on to the next one. That'd be the dream deal.
It probably didn't break your heart when you saw American Pharoah draw post one and Dortmund draw post two. That probably didn't break your heart, did it?
I mean, tactically, that's good, but you never know what's going to happen when the gates open.
Yeah, he's Dallas Stewart, and he sends up Taylor Verve in the Preakness, and he's looking for that very first Preakness win on his own. As you just heard, he was with the coach, Dwayne Lucas, in 1994 when they sent out Tabasco Cat. Dallas, appreciate it, my friend. Good luck on Saturday, and we'll be cheering for you. Get him.
Thank you so much. You guys do a great job.
Yeah, go Steelers, by the way.
Next year.
He's the best. I think I sent out two smack talk messages before games this year, and the Steelers lost them both. One of them was to the New Orleans Saints. See?
Don't mess with the Saints.
Good question about Chuck Pipke, too, and what he means to the sport. And you know, as somebody, as you heard Dallas say, who owns the Stallion, who owns the Dam, who owns the Sun, whatever it is, I mean, Chuck Pipke is vested in this game, and they know how important it is to get this horse in the money in a big race like the Preakness.
Absolutely. And, you know, the name of the game is horse racing, and it's all about the horse. And a guy like Chuck Pipke, who's made millions of dollars in the diamond industry, you know, this horse is Chuck Pipke through and through. I mean, Tale of Akati, he raced him. I don't know if he bred him, but he may have bred him too. And like Dallas said, it's an unbridled mare, and it's a mare that he owns. And I mean, this is homebred through and through. Obviously, there's other homebreds in the race as well. I mean, of course, the Derby winner himself is a homebred, and you know, that's pretty important for horse racing, for the breeders to do well. I know it's good for the commercial breeders to also do well, and for consigners to have something to hang their hat on, but the breeders are you know, so significant to the history of our game.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. If you are just joining us, the 2015 field for the Preakness Stakes has been drawn. The morning lines have been given out, and let's run down the field for you one more time. Number one, American Pharoah, breaking from the rail. That is not historically a great position to be in, but the Derby winner is assigned the morning line favorites role. No surprise there. He is 4-5. Number two is Dortmund, third in the Kentucky Derby, suffering his first defeat that afternoon to his stablemate. He ends up at 7-2, second choice. Number three is Mr. Z, 20-1. Number four, Danzig Moon, fifth in the Kentucky Derby. He is 15-1. Number five, Tale of Verve, big price, longest shot on the board, 30-1. You just heard trainer Dallas Stewart say, well, hey, anything can happen. We're just going to see what we can do coming up here in the Preakness. Number six, Bodhisattva, the local horse at 20. Number seven is Divining Rod, Lyle Stables. We'll tell you more about that story in just a moment, 12-1. And number eight is Firing Line, runner-up in the Derby, nearly pulled off the win that day. He's 4-1 from that outside post and probably gets the biggest break in the post position draw, drawing to the outside. Tom, I want to ask you about Divining Rod and talk about Lyle Stables for a moment here, because the last time that Roy and Gretchen Jackson came to the Preakness Stakes was with Kentucky Derby winner Barbaro 9 years ago. This is their first starter since, and I had a chance to catch up with Roy earlier today and talk to him about that and the emotions that might go through them, but he claims that, hey, you know what, we miss Barbaro, but we've moved on, and this is a new chapter now, so they're hoping that no matter what happens, that they can just get a clean trip and everything goes well on Saturday.
And I think they have moved on. They won a race on the undercard last year. I remember talking to him about it, and you know, they did say it was, you know, a bittersweet win, and you know, it was good to be back at Pimlico and maybe kind of exercise some of them demons a little bit. You know, but obviously, I'm sure there's not a day that's not going to go by that they don't walk into here or even talk about Pimlico or they don't think about it. I mean, I had no association with the horse whatsoever other than being a reporter, and I walk in here and I think to myself, I remember when that happened. I remember walking from the back part of the grandstand out to the stakes barn when the horse was being taken in an ambulance, and I just remember the feeling that I had and how much of an empty feeling that probably everybody in racing had. It was such a sad day and such a really traumatic experience. I think it's great that they're back, and I think, again, some people that this is another homebred, people that are thoroughly invested in the game, and you know, they could. I think horse people are pretty resilient, tough people. I mean, they're not going to walk away, but they could very well have after that bad experience. I mean,
They claimed it was one of the more difficult things they had to go through.
Absolutely, losing an undefeated Kentucky Derby winner in one of the biggest races on the American or world calendar. But this horse is, this is a potential upsetter, I think, in here. And you know, a little shameless plug for us, Joe Clancy, my colleague at This Is Horse Racing. He's been out at Fairhill and has done quite a few stories on our website about Divining Rod. And what a pedigree! Tappet out of a Precious Kitten, a Caddy Ennis mare, a Ken Ramsey bred horse that the Jacksons bought. And you were probably at the Lexington and saw what he did in there, and that was a pretty decent field in there. I don't, you know, at the Lexington, you always kind of wonder like how good of a race it is, and this is a horse that's shown steady improvement all year. You look at his races, maybe he was second in the Sam Davis, and then you think, okay, maybe he'll run a little better in the Tampa Bay Derby. He was third, but you know, Carpe Diem won the race, and Carpe Diem's no slouch for sure, and then he comes right back and wins the Lexington.
Yeah, he is a son of Gainsway stallion Tappet is Divining Rod, and a horse with all kinds of talent. And as the Jacksons, Roy Jackson, told me earlier today, we thought he deserved a shot. We need to give him a try. He's a very talented horse. Five starts, two wins, a second, and two thirds, including that win in the Coolmore Lexington last time out. And when you look at a horse like this, why not? Why not take that opportunity to put him in this spot and see what he can do? And maybe you get lucky, maybe he gets the victory. And especially now what we've seen from the post draw, we see American Pharoah draw down toward the inside. We see Dortmund draw post two. Probably not ideal for either one of those two. And those are two of the three favorites in here. So let's assume that that affects them in a negative manner and that we don't see American Pharoah or Dortmund run up to the standards that we're used to seeing them run. Well, does that then open the door for some of the newcomers to maybe pull off a bit of a shocker?
I think it does. I think it opens the door for 6, 7, and 8. Bodhisattva, Divining Rod, and Firing Line. I'm not sure in that order, but, you know, I think those horses getting clogged up down there on the inside, I think it does maybe help a little bit that a horse like Tale of Verve is just going to kind of drop right out of it. Mr. Z is kind of the X factor. What is he going to do? Is he going to go to the front? What's he going to do in the race? And Danzig
what's he going to do about entering the race? Yeah. Right? Remember we were talking about that yesterday?
Exactly. Who knows, right?
He wasn't even expected to be in the Preakness. His owners had pretty much ruled that out. And then all of a sudden, he shows up yesterday with Dwayne Lucas here at Pimlico. And you knew right away that he was going to enter the Preakness when he showed up with Wayne. But then he sold today to Calumet Farm. And you think about Calumet and all the success they've had in the Triple Crown races. Maybe another one here. Maybe we're looking at another Oxbow type of upset.
Well, that was quite an upset just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Coincidentally with Gary Stevens, who's not riding Mr. Z, but Mr. Z is going to get Corey Nakatani in a replacement from the Derby. You know, D. Wayne, he's a hard guy to handicap nowadays. I think in the 80s, maybe the 90s, it was a little more easier to handicap him. But, you know, he's the kind of guy that he could win one of these. You never know. And this is a horse that pretty much was right in the races with Firing Line and Dortmund last year out in California. He's a horse that's graded stakes competitor. He's running a lot of grade six. Now he's eligible for an A other than, but you know, maybe the Sir Barton on the undercard, or it's not called the Sir Barton anymore, might have been a better spot for him.
He's all heart.
He's a good little horse. I mean, he gets beat ahead in the Los Al Futurity. He gets beat a nose in the Delta Jackpot. He doesn't run a terrible race in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, in a race that the pace just kind of fell apart in there. He's second to Carpe Diem in the Breeders' Futurity. You know, his last few haven't been very good, so I think that's definitely a knock on him. But, you know, Wayne's the firm believer, and you definitely can't win if you're not in, and obviously he's in, and a guy like Brad Kelly stepped up to the plate to buy him to run in this race. And, you know, maybe they'll be painting those black and yellow silks on
the weather vane.
Not the old Calumet Devil's Red and Blue, but it's the new Calumet.
Well, it's a busy week for us. We're really just getting started here on the network. We told you at the top of this show that this is kind of the unofficial beginning of the Preakness Stakes. We will be back with you on Friday afternoon to bring you coverage of the Grade 2 Black Eyed Susan. That coverage coming up from 4 to 5 Eastern Time. And then we're back again on Saturday afternoon, beginning at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll take you all the way through Preakness 140 here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That coverage going to air, of course, nationwide on Sirius XM, as well as more than 160 affiliates across the country as we produce the Preakness Stakes coverage in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and Westwood One. And, Tom, coming up next, a special edition of our Trainer Talk show presented by Fasic Tipton, which you can listen to every single Wednesday evening here on the network. I had a chance to sit down and talk with recent Hall of Fame inductee, King Leatherberry, who is a Maryland icon, and it was such a delight. The first half of the program, we're going to replay a show with King Leatherberry that we did, a few months back, and then we're going to have a brand new edition in the second half, and you won't want to miss it because he talks about getting into the Hall of Fame and what it means to him, and really just an icon here in the state of Maryland.
Did he give you any handicapping tips? Because, I mean, this guy, he's a shrewd handicapper. He's very, very good. I mean, I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. And obviously, with a little bit of time, I've interviewed him a few times myself, but a lot of times it was just kind of soundbite short segments. But I know that his reputation obviously precedes it. And I'm on the Hall of Fame voting group, and I definitely voted for him. I felt like he was very, very deserving. And Ben's Cat, of course, coming up this weekend, which is always exciting for the local crowd. I mean, a 9-year-old, just an ageless, venerable superstar here in the Mid-Atlantic.
You know, you could have claimed Ben's Cat in his first career start for $20,000. He's now gone on and made more than $2 million. How about that?
Just an amazing horse. And here you and I are. We're toiling away as writers and radio guys. We need to step up maybe.
We need a Ben's Cat.
We could use a Ben's Cat.
Absolutely.
Use half a Ben's Cat.
Well, it's been a lot of fun here tonight. And, Tom, really happy you could sit in and join me here on the coverage. And we'll encourage people to go to thisishorseracing.com to check out all of your features and the Clancy Brother features. And, again, join us throughout the rest of the week. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I know you're looking forward to Preakness Week.
I am. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me today. I'm looking forward to getting out to the track in the morning and seeing these horses. Unfortunately, it wasn't at the Derby, but I'm ready to go.
And stay with us next. That special edition of Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. King Leatherberry joining us. Want to thank the Maryland Horse Breeders Association for making this coverage possible. You can go back to our website, check out podcasts of all of our shows at horseracingradio.net. For our producers, Sean C. here at Pimlico and Lee Delapina in our Lexington studios, for Tom Long and for my wife, Michelle, who did a great job, I'm Mike Fenneman.